Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aavas Financiers Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Agarwal, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for participating on the earnings call to discuss the performance of our company for Q4 and FY22. With me, I have Mr. Ghanshyam Rawat, CFO, Himanshu Agrawal, Investor Relations team, and other senior member of the management team, and SGA, our IR advisor. The results and the presentations are available on the stock exchanges as well as our company website, and I hope everyone has had a chance to look at it. For Q4 FY22, we disbursed 1,287.2 crore, registering a 27% year-on-year growth, which is the highest quarterly disbursement in our history. Excluding the impact on business due to lockdowns imposed during Q1 FY22 due to second wave of COVID-19, our average monthly disbursement was close to 350 crore during the period from July 2021 to March 2022. Having said that, we continue to adopt a cautious approach on growth and give a higher thrust to maintaining pristine asset quality and sustainable operating metrics. During the year, the average portfolio yield reduced by 51 basis points from 13.16% as of March 2021 to 12.65% as of March 2022. The average borrowing cost also reduced by 52 basis points from 7.4% as of March 2021 to 6.88% as of March 2022. As a result, the spread as of March 2022 was maintained at 5.75%, roughly same level as that of March 2021. Further, with our robust collection efforts, we have improved 1+ DPD from 6.45% in December 2021 to 4.47% in March 2022. Similarly, our exposure to 90+ DPD assets have came down from 0.83% in December 2021 to 0.68% in March 2022. We have also categorized 0.31% of up to 90 DPD assets as GNPA following RBI's notification dated 12th November 2021 to harmonize IRACP norms across all lending institutions. As a result, total gross Stage 3 stood at 0.99% in March 2022. We will continue our strategy of controlling the early delinquencies and strive to maintain 1+ DPD below 5%. I would now hand over the line to Ghanshyam Ji, CFO, to discuss various business parameters in detail.
Thank you, Sushil Ji. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to our earnings call. During the year, company borrowed an incremental borrowing amounting to rupees 43,884 million at 6.04%. As of March 2022, our average cost of borrowing stood at 6.88% on an outstanding amount of rupees 102,607 million. Our long-term credit rating continued to maintain at AA- with a positive outlook from both rating agencies, ICRA and CARE. Despite the highest short-term rating of A1+, we continue to maintain zero exposure to commercial paper as a prudent borrowing practice. IGAAP to Ind AS reconciliation has been explained in detail for profit after tax and as well net of net worth on slide number 32 and 34 of our presentation. Key parameters: as on 31st March 2022, total number of live accounts stood at 150,837, year-on-year growth 20%. Total number of branches was 314. 34 new branches added in last 12 months. Employee count is 5,222, 20% growth year-on-year. Asset under management grew by 20% year-on-year to rupees 1,13,502 million as on 31st March 2022. Product-wise breakup: home loan 72.1%, other mortgage loans 27.9%. Occupation-wise breakup: salaried 40%, self-employed 60%. During the year, disbursement has increased by 27% year-on-year. Disbursement increased by 27% year-on-year to rupees 12,872 million for the quarter 4 and FY22, and by 36% year-on-year to rupees 36,022 million for the FY22 for full year. As on 31st March 2022, average borrowing cost at 6.88% against the average portfolio yield of 12.65%, resulting in a spread of 5.77%. Borrowing side: access to diversified and cost-effective long-term financing, very strong relationship with the development finance institutions. Overall borrowing mix is 31st March 2022 is 37.9% from term loans, 22.9% from assignment and securitizations, 21.5% from National Housing Bank, and 17.7% is from debt capital markets. Assets quality and provisioning: one day past due stood at 4.47%. Gross Stage 3 stood at 0.99%. Net Stage 3 stood at 0.77% as on March 31st, 2022. Gross Stage 3 of 0.99% include 0.31% up to 90 days DPD assets, which has been categorized as GNPA following RBI notification dated 12th November 2021. During the financial year, resolution plan was implemented for certain borrowers' account as per the RBI Resolution Framework 2.0. Dated 5th May 2021. Some of such accounts with an outstanding amount of rupees 1,361 million as on 31st March 2022 have been classified in stage 2 and provided for as per the regulatory guideline. Total ECL provision include that of COVID-19 impact also, as well as resolution framework 2.0, stood at 643.2 million as on 31st March 2022. Liquidity of rupees 32,050 million as on 31st March 2022. Cash and cash equivalent of rupees 15,690 million. Unavailed cash credit limit from banks 1,150 million. Documented unavailed sanction from National Housing Bank 4,060 million. Documented unavailed sanction from other banks 11,150 million. Profitability: during the year, during FY21, there was a tax benefit of rupees, or tax benefit on account of share-based payment of rupees 126.8 million adjusted in profit and loss account, whereas for FY22, such tax benefit of rupees 214.1 million was directly transferred to retained earning equity. Consequently, on a like-to-like comparison, PAT of rupees FY22 increased by 29% year-on-year to rupees 3,575 million. ROA 3.6%, ROE 13.7% for FY22. As on 31st March 2022, we are well capitalized with a net worth of rupees 28,086 million and our book value per share stood at 355.8. With this, I open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Sushilji and Ghanshyamji. Hope both of you are doing well. Thank you for taking my questions. Firstly, congratulations to you and your team for demonstrating such a strong improvement in asset quality. I had three questions. Let me first try to solicit your views on EVM growth. Sir, while everyone keeps saying that the mortgage penetration in India is low and that there is an unlimited opportunity in the affordable housing finance segment, in your view, how big is the opportunity today in the low-ticket housing finance space? And sir, I ask this because we hear very divergent views from players, and some of them even acknowledge that it is easier to build an AUM of, let's say, 10,000 crores, but beyond that, the climb becomes very, very steep. So would like to hear what your views are.
Abhijit, good afternoon. Some status as per our knowledge and the data we collected. India has 140 crore population. Around 60 top cities have 35 crore population and around 8 crore families. And around 1.6 crore housing loan exists in that market. So around 20% penetration in that market. Rest of the India, 105 crore population, around 28 crore families, and around 65 to 70 lakh home loans like this. So around 3% or less penetration. So I think the market in which we operate, even after 75 years of independence, the penetration is somewhere around 2 to 7-8% in different towns. So we think another 20-25 years, we can sustainably grow in that market. Market is huge, but that market is, you can say, difficult in terms of, so you need to have patience, you need to learn, you need to grow slowly, and you can create a number of times a market opportunity in that market.
Thank you. So the second question that I had was on the higher prepayments that we have seen during this financial year. Can you give us some color on the competitive intensity in which segment or geography, and to which lenders are these customers taking balance transfers to, and what is the alternative loan yields which are being offered by the competition that you deem it wise not to retain such customers? And lastly, can these BT outs further intensify as the interest rates now rise?
So, Abhijit, normally the prepayment rate, how it works is around 6 to 7% comes into principal repayment with the installments. Around 5 to 6% comes as a part payment, prepayment from the customers from their own fund. And around 6 to 7% comes from a BT out portfolio. So traditionally, if you will see the first two components, there is a not much of this thing. It's a normal phenomena for large HFC also, for a small HFC also. On BT out, yes, pre-COVID level, we were able to contain it. Our analytics algorithm, we need to improve. We are working on that. So another 2-3% saving we can do with improved algorithm in the next 12 to 18 months time. And that's the kind of, so but not much of BT out impact. It's 2-3% higher from the normal levels, which anyway in the very low interest rate regime, you can assume. But we plan our distribution, business numbers, growth, keeping that in mind. And the guidance which we have given that we can grow 20-22%, we are still matching. So I don't think so, but yes, competitive landscape will always remain there. Main hamesha bolta hun, when a kid is below the table height, nobody recognizes it. When a kid grows above the table height, everybody starts recognizing, and the competition intensity will be there. But with the kind of distribution, technology, and niche created in last 12 years of journey, we will continue to sustain our growth levels, which we can 20-25% growth.
Thank you, sir. This is useful. And sir, the last question that I had was on the asset quality. Sir, excuse me, perhaps I'm asking you for your secret sauce on an earnings call. But I wanted to understand what aided the sharp improvement in your stage 3A, which is your less than 90 DPD book. So out of the total reduction that we have seen in stage 3 on a QQ basis, 85% of the reductions have come from stage 3A. What really made me curious here is that you could not have initiated SARFAESI on this loan pool. And these customers who have three installments over the sometime in November and December when they slipped into NPA, then suddenly they have so much money that they are able to pay three EMIs and get upgraded to standard. So were these resolutions more in the nature of settlements and closures rather than upgrades to stage one?
No. So Abhijit, as a process, any account which gets marked NPA into system, the SARFAESI process got initiated. And after 12th November circular, immediately next day, whichever accounts were under new regime counted as 90 plus or stage 3, we initiated SARFAESI. And you know, in SARFAESI there are 8 stages, but within 60 days you will have first symbolic possession and the swing. And customer who were already living in that house, the credit is right, property is there, customer is there, then either customer take the initiative and foreclose or he prepays the loan. Anyway, these customers were almost those customers which were because of some event in life, they missed one or two installment and they keep on paying one installment every month. After SARFAESI proceedings, either they have closed or they have prepaid the entire outstanding. So there is no secret sauce. It's the process driven. And since the underwriting and process is good, and in each case, customer or property is existing, and so recovery anyway needs to happen.
This is useful. Thank you, Shushilji, for patiently answering all my questions, and I wish your team and yourself the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Chilappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. Congrats on another good quarter, Sushilji and Ghanshyamji. I have three questions. The first one is, if we were to look at your other OPEX line, this year, almost every quarter, that has been growing very strongly, almost 40% plus. While I understand that the branch expansion has also resumed, it looks like there are few other expenses that are also growing fast. So on the other OPEX side, could you please help us understand what are these expense items that are growing? And how much of this is related to investments for which we will see the benefit probably 1 or 2 years down the line?
So, Karthik, good afternoon. And on the OPEX question, so last year OPEX has almost three components. One is 2021, because of COVID, there was early reduction, less bonuses or no bonuses or incentives. In the current year, as you see, there was a large attrition across the industry, and to sustain that, the salary increase, incentives, bonus, as it was normal as usual. So when you compare from 2021, when because of COVID, no increments, no bonus, salary reduction, This percentage looks high. Second, as you know, we are continuously investing in distribution, so every year, 30-35 branches, that is also there. But this year, we are also embarking on another transformation journey on digital side, where we are scaling up our digital and technology infra to cater to a $15-$20 million kind of size of assets. And in that journey, yes, last year also, the other OpEx and depreciation is included, and this year also will be a little bit high. We hopefully complete all this transformation journey in next 12-15 months. So this will help us becoming scalable infra to the size which I have told you. At the same time, it will help us in transforming the customer journey and the employee journey and experience, and also significant impact on reducing the tax, operating cost, operating leverage. So, these three or two or three components are there, because of which this year's numbers look like this. But we continue doing investment. The hike is because I've told you, 2021, there was no investment in technology, no investment in manpower more, and reductions in salary incentives and bonus. So when you compare from a low base to the normal base, it looks like that high.
Got it. Okay. My second question, Sushilji, is if I were to just look at your AUM growth of 20%, and if I were to dissect it further, the AUM per branch has actually been growing at high single digit, at least for the last three or four quarters. Now, given that some of your new branches in new geographies probably will grow faster on a lower base, this would mean that in some of your existing geographies, let's say if it is Rajasthan or Maharashtra or so, the AUM per branch growth is probably even like mid-single digit CAGR. Why do you think this is the case?
So, Karthik, I think we need to see a cut of the numbers that way, but the philosophy with which we work, I've told you also, there are all the investors, when you open a branch, we take a 15-year view. So like some branch is in 4 lakh, 3 lakh, or say 4 lakh population town. So divide by 5, so around 80,000 families. In next 15 year, we need to fund 5% of the customers, so around 4,000 customers divided by 180, so almost 30-40 case per month. So we go that way, and then AUM growth journey will be in tandem. We don't say that this year we'll do 3, next year we'll do 4, next year we'll do 5, next year we'll do 6. Some efficiencies will always be left, but all of our branches, almost 90% of our branches are ROE positive in first 12 months. And we open in second half. So, if we remove that part, and because of COVID also, last year also, the branches we opened the branches, the growth is little bit low. We expect them to do normal business functioning from this year end. In fact, last month, the normal business numbers were there, so I think, not be like a 20% year-on-year growth from all the branches. It will always be, some branch will be at 100% efficiency level, some 80%, some 65% level, and normally three-year lag is there to achieve the 100% efficiency.
Got it. Very clear. My last question, Sushilji, is, currently, what is the difference in the yield between our fixed versus floating rate product? And are we seeing any shift from customers towards more fixed rate loans, given that interest rates are starting to trend up?
Karthik, normally, we give all the options to customer while they apply. between fixed and floating, they are difference of 275 basis points as a yield in the portfolio. And we normally try to match our lending with the borrowing kind of pattern. The money which we can raise or we raise on fixed rate, we try to fund on that fixed rate lending. And money which we have borrowed on a borrowing rate, floating rate basis, we try to lend. And I think balance sheet is perfectly matched on fixed and floating rate of interest wise, but it's the customer's choice, and we are not seeing any significant difference. If you will see quarter-on-quarter basis, it's hardly 1% difference.
Got it. Okay, that's all from my side. Wish you and the team all the very best for FY23, Sushil and Ghanshyam. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Karthik.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank from InCred. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
Hi, sir. So, basically, my question is on the increasing prices of construction materials, and other inflation. What kind of challenges are you seeing on housing demand or, on the under construction property of our customers? And what kind of change in, cash flows are you seeing on the household due to inflation?
Nikhil?
Mayank.
Mayank, on the construction cost side, so I will give you one data point. So even 10-15 years back, the construction cost for a normal home used to be around 1,000-1,100 rupees per square feet. But during that time, construction material cost was 35-40%, and labor cost used to come 60%. Now, over a period of time, that material cost has increased from 35-40% to 60%, but there is a significant cost in labor, reduction in labor cost because of machinery, new method development. So if you will see basic structural rate, on which government used to give the tender for constructing the home, was around 1,000-1,100 rupees, and even in March, government has issued the tender on 980-995 rupees cost. So basically, it's a difference, so not much of that difference, but yes, maybe 5-10% further beyond that. But over a period of time, customer affordability has also increased, even if you take inflation rate growth in income. During last 2 years, because of COVID, some of the cash flow of the MSME was hampered, but I think last 9 months, the recovery is better and faster. And I am seeing, at least in our portfolio, when we discuss with all the customers, and even we process some more than 40,000 customers last quarter, now cash flow levels are almost matching the pre-COVID level at the ground level, the kind of profile which you find for customer.
What is the employee base for us in as on 31st March 2022?
Employee 5222.
5222.
Yeah, thanks. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for good set of numbers. So firstly, the question is with respect to the OpEx again. So when we look at it, maybe you highlighted that on maybe on a long-term average, we would want to be somewhere around 200-250 odd basis points, and we are still at 3.9%. So how should we see the overall trajectory? Maybe the investments still are gonna continue, and even for 20-25% kind of run rate on the AUM, should we really see the higher OpEx trajectory, or maybe the base effect goes away and it should normalize and there should be some operating leverage that will play in now?
So, Kunal, good afternoon. During pre-COVID, if you see, if pre-COVID pre-COVID, last 3 years, we were able to reduce our OPEX by 30 basis points year-on-year basis. Due to COVID, in last 2 years, that operating leverage was not able to be visible. One is because of 4.5 months in last 2 years went into COVID and there is a fixed cost option which is already there. But with the use of normal business trajectory, we'll see last 9 months number after COVID, significant recovery has impacted, and if you see net worth has grown 17% from year to year basis. So that is there, but as a Aavas, we continue to grow even in COVID phase 1, KVS phase 2, both year we opened 30 to 35 branches. And as I told you, now we are embarking on another digital transformation journey for the sites which I have told you. So that will be there. But yes, with that also, this year will be, we hope so, no, there will be no COVID impact. But that will be there. Yes, 30-35 point cost efficiency we can expect.
30-35 basis points of cost efficiency. This fiscal itself?
Yeah.
Okay. And this digital, any estimate in terms of the cost? Because on the overall base, that might not add significantly. So, and any cost in mind, maybe in terms of this entire digital journey?
So, it will be, somewhere spread in 3 to 4 years time. But yes, so if say normal technology OPEX or depreciation or put together maybe 20 crore rupees a year, this will at least double for next 3-4 years.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, in terms of the overall rising interest rate environment, so on the borrowing side, when we look at it, maybe you have any which is highlighted how much is the fixed and how much is the floating on asset as well as on the liability. But as and when our fixed, maybe as and when our borrowing cost goes up, what would be our endeavor? Would we tend to pass it on? How would that be? And across the board, given that home loans for many of the players are EBR linked, the repricing on asset side is also going to be early. So what would be our stance? And maybe we would tend to pass it on the benefit to the customers or still retain the spreads?
So, Kunal, we discussed these matters in ALCO committee and at the board level, and there is a proper governed framework where we assess our prime lending rate. It's a combination of cost of borrowing, OPEX, risk-based pricing, etc. And accordingly, ALCO and board advises for this rate. As you know, we have perfectly matched balance sheet both on fixed and floating side. So if in quarter, if we see impact that our floating rate of interest has increased, we will pass it on to customer base as per ALCO and board guidance. Even in fixed side, though we have fixed rate of borrowing for longer period, but our fixed rate of lending is 3-year reset allows. So there also, that kind of risk is not there on the balance sheet, but we will assess the situation based on the impact, real impact on our borrowing costs. Since we have huge liquidity at this point of time, as mentioned in the sheet, around 3,200 crore, up to which 1,800 crore are fixed deposit. So immediately, I think there will be no pressure, but we will assess situation every month, and with ALCOs and board guidance, we will take the decision.
Sure. And with respect to the vintage of branches, so in fact, when we look at it, say in FY18, FY19, the number of branches that would have got added. Now, maybe we would have not seen that kind of a productivity scale up during COVID, but generally in 3-4 years of the vintage, we see the significant scale up. So still maybe, if I were to look at it in terms of the vintage, in fact over the next 2 years, the productivity improvement can itself bring about a significant growth, okay, looking at the additions which have been there, 2 years prior to or maybe a couple of years prior to COVID. So, then maybe what is still leading to this 20-25% growth? Or maybe overall we should see the productivity not getting back to those levels immediately at the branch level?
So Kunal, there are two points. If you will see, disbursement is growing 36% year-on-year. Even last year, 33%. So branches disbursement pattern is on right thing. Second, we have five categories of branches: A, B, C, D, E. And every branch is categorized on different potentials. So when we open the branches, it's not always A category branches with the potential of 5 crore rupees or more per month business. They are more C and D category branches with 1.5 or 75 lakh rupees per month kind of businesses. Because those branches we get a good yield, lower ticket size cases and mostly new to customer, which is our kind forte and prime segment of the customers. So, as per new branch productivity, I think they are performing as per the defined structure for them, because disbursement growth is intact. Yes, AUM growth is outcome of different things, top payout, BT out, and once you scale up on that thing, say now around 11,500 crore rupees and prior to this 9,500 crore rupees. So all these are factors which determine the AUM growth. But anyway, we always project that we will grow 20-20%, and we are performing on that level. Last year, 2% additional prepayment and 2% AUM growth because of 1.5 months of COVID. Otherwise, we were able to perform 20-25% kind of growth. If situation remains normal this year, I think we will be able to deliver that kind of growth.
Sure. And one last data point question. How much is the asset held for sale as of March? And if you can just give the flow for this quarter in terms of the additions and the resolutions from that.
Net 23.
Net 23.
Net is 23 compared to that of 20 last in December.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. So apologize in advance, I will be harping on the same question of growth. Sir, I'm looking at your DuPont metrics. So look, I mean, we are at ROEs of 13.7% and that has been actually constantly going up. And if I juxtapose to that your capital adequacy and leverage, so we are at capital adequacy of around 50-51%, right? And we are growing at 20%. So I understand you mentioned the levers of growth in the previous remark you made. But keeping these 3-4 metrics in mind, don't you think, I mean, you know, Aavas has still huge potential to grow further and even beyond, like as to what you've been guiding, you know, as on today?
Good afternoon, Shweta. On ROE side, the number is 13.74, but it will see, including the tax benefit, opening capital versus closing capital, there is a growth of 17%. In fact, Q4 ROE is around 17%. But we said in our continuous guidance that ROEs will improve by 100-150 basis points on year basis. And I think we are on the right trajectory and we are delivering that number.
Sir, and on the growth front, you know, in light of higher capital adequacy and leverage, if that is taken up higher, don't you think, you know, growth can exceed even your current guidance?
So, Shweta, we as a management are comfortable delivering 20-20% growth year-on-year basis sustainability. Even if you see, despite COVID year in 2021, also we were able to deliver 22% year-on-year growth, where some of the peers were not able to deliver that. Yes, capital, when you see adequacy-wise, it looks higher, but we work in an ecosystem where lenders are there, rating agencies are there, and RBI norms are there, and everybody sees capital in a different tangent. So when you see from RBI perspective, they see capital adequacy, but when you see from rating agency perspective, it is AUM divided by capital. So already 11,500 divided by around 2,500, around 5.5-6 times leverage. When you go to lenders, they see it from debt to equity perspective. So when we were A rated, we were almost around 5 times guidance, and AA rated around 5.5-6 times guidance on leveraging term. So we are following that, and increasing the leverage and growth is a continuous journey. We started from AAA- to AA-, and as we improve ratings in our journey, you can see more better capital efficiency in terms of all these three parameters.
Yes, sir. That's well put, sir. So my second question and last question, perhaps. So you mentioned about BT out cases, although they are on the lower side of 6-7%. But just because I am trying to understand the market and the areas of operations, who are you losing out to these these BT out cases? Where are they going to? Who are they going to? And secondly, just an extension to that, so you have more than 30% odd new to credit customer, right? So because you are present in that niche and unique customer profile, so there might be higher possibility today in the age of digital era, you might be having higher refinancing that might happen going forward, because you would create history, the track record, and given your high demonstration of asset quality, there would be many who would want to sort of take over your portfolio. So just your thoughts on both of these points. Thank you.
So Shweta, as a Aavas, we recognize that risk, that in our business model that risk will always exist, that when we acquire a new to trade customer and when they demonstrate a better customer credit performance, they are prone to BT out. But as you have mentioned, over a period of last 11 years, we have developed our algorithm understandings, analytics model, where we can work around these parameters and still able to retain customers or use this base pricing as per model approved by ALCO and board. And I think in the past, and even COVID and even current year, those algorithms are working fine. We will try to improve it further better so that we can get 2%, 3% kind of benefit on a yearly basis. And that gives us the confidence, even in the difficult time, even in the more intensified competition, we will be able to sustain and retain our customer and sustain our AUM growth level going forward.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Kothari from Mantra Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Nikhil.
Hello. Yeah, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. So, sir, in the presentation, you have given that we have invested 15 crore in Aavas FinServ. So, what's the business we are looking at in the subsidiary?
So, Nikhil, we have applied for an NBFC license in Aavas FinServ. As per regulatory requirement, the minimum capital is put into that. In that subsidiary, we intend to do secured MSME products and other customer lifestyle product.
Okay. Understood, sir. Understood. So, that's it for myself. And all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next participant, reminder to everyone, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Siddharth, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on great set of numbers. I just wanted to understand on the yield mix for the H&N lab products separately for both Q4 and FY22, because I was looking at slide 20 and you know, we've seen the yields drop by about 50 basis points year on year. So just wanted to understand, you know, on H&N lab, what are the acquisition yields that we have had for both Q4 and FY22? Thank you.
I think if you will see our HL and non-HL portfolio was around 73.27 as of last year, and current year it is 72.1 and 27.9. So 90 basis point difference on year-on-year basis.
So I just want to understand the acquisition yields of HL and lab book.
So you are asking in non-housing the component of HLA or MSM in lab?
No, not the percentage. I just want to understand the yields at which we are acquiring the book. What is the home loan acquisition yield and the non-home loan acquisition yield?
Non-housing. So for housing 11.7 and for non-housing 14.2.
Okay, and this is for Q4 or for the full year 22?
Full year 22.
Okay, thank you. And just one more second, one more question on back of question from Nikhil. So you know, we are setting up the affluent or affluent segment. Is there a shift in strategy from affordable to mid, or this is going to be a small portion of the entire portfolio?
So, Nikhil, this vertical is there from last 4 years.
Okay.
And this vertical contributes around 30-35 crore rupees up to 400-450 crore rupees we do. And this proportion is same almost last 4 years.
Okay. So we are going to stick with the affordable segment, and there's no clear shift in strategy to the mid or affluent.
And this department is also from the last 4 years, so not this year.
Understood. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for allowing me a follow-up question. So first one is more of a data question. Can you share the geographical split of our disbursements? I mean, what was the disbursement mix basis our geographical presence in FY22?
So Abhijit, we will so almost similar to AUM level, 2-3% here and there statewide.
Okay, the mix will be the same as what we have in the year.
Yeah.
And typically, have you seen the AUM mix typically declining in Rajasthan over the last, let's say, 1 or 2 years?
So in disbursement per month, yes, but AUM, it will take time. I think it's 1% or 2% or year on year difference.
Okay. Sir, and the next question again, and my last question again is more of a, I would say, a recreating of some of the questions that, I mean, participants have asked already. So typically when I look at slide number 20, where you present the spreads that you make, very clearly, I mean, I would say FY21, FY22, we and including the other, I mean, HFCs have enjoyed, I mean, high spreads, given that, I mean, cost of borrowings came down and we were not maybe required to pass on the reduction in cost of borrowings to that extent to our customers. But now going forward, as your, cost ratios moderate, as you had guided by about, let's say, 30 to 35 basis points, we've already addressed large part of the asset quality pain, which was there because of those first and second COVID waves. Is there now a case to maintain the high level of spreads, or does it make more business sense to start moderating our spreads?
So, Abhijit.
The focus will be more on maintaining the let's say, the ROA.
Abhijit, as I always articulate, in our journey, when we started 2011-12, we were able to maintain 5% spread. And pre-COVID level also, we were able to maintain 5% plus minus spread. During COVID, this spread increased, but we have passed on 25 basis points to our customer base in April already. And we told that due to some uncertainties which everybody looks in COVID, we retained that spread in our balance sheet. As the situation will normalize, and even in current situation of interest rate hike, according to ALCO and board decision, we will do the working on PLR and all those things. But in the long run, we want to maintain around 5% spread, and accordingly, cost structures and everything will be playing the role in the next journey.
Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Kasturi from Focus Capital. Please go ahead.
Namaste, Sushil ji. Namaste, Ghanshyam ji. Congratulations on a fantastic financial year. Sir, my question is more to do with the business. Could you please let us know what are the new digital initiatives that you are taking, and what is the expected benefit out of those? That's it, sir. Thank you.
So, good afternoon, Vikas. As a company at Aavas, we continuously invest in our digital and technology, and this is continuous efforts from the management and board side. In that journey, again, when we look ahead 10-12-year journey, we thought the size will be a different scale. So we are investing into different to prepare ourselves for that large scale and size. And similarly, RBI regulations are converging more and more NBFC norms towards the banking kind of regulation. So we are making ourselves ready for those kind of adherence and corporate governance. At the same time, looking at the current customer profile and the internet journey, we see there will be a digital transformation which is required. So in last 10-year journey, we came from 23-day stack to 10-day stack. Now in the next digital journey, we are trying to reduce it by significant margin, say 50%-75% further improvement from here what we are there. And this will help us bringing more efficiencies in the operation, will make Aavas ready for new scaled operation going forward. And at the same time, will enable us for kind of more controlled and governed environment which the regulator wants, and readiness of data for the future growth.
Okay, thank you for that explanation, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you all for attending the call. For any further information, we request you to get in touch with Himanshu in our investor relations team or SGA or IR advisors, and they would be happy to help you. Thank you for patient listening and your continued support and interest in Aavas.
Thank you. On behalf of Aavas Financiers Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.